This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And the question is, are you that exceptional American? So welcome aboard. Lots of things going on. And of course, it's another explosive news day. When does it ever end? It doesn't. You're on the 24/7, 365 news cycle. So enjoy it. Enjoy your ride. We've got 3 hours of Agenda 21 Radio ahead of you. Please visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. And also newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. You can also support Agenda 21 Radio by going to right to voice.com. You want to answer the questions about, hey, do I need to be censored? And the answer, of course, is no. Then go to righttovoice.com. That's R-I-G-H-T, the number 2, V-O-I-C-E. Now, your right to voice is your God-given right. Yeah, that's, how about that? The First Amendment, your God-given right. Something to think about, something to ponder. You know, this is the thing about constitutionalists. People who think that, they know the Constitution in and out, and sometimes they just don't understand the basis of it, and that's God. Your God-given right, the First Amendment, your right to voice. Anyway, okay, a lot of things going on, like I said, and the Supreme Court is changing. Robert Kennedy, Judge Kennedy, is going to be replaced, and he's retiring. And I'll tell you, in a very dignified manner, he informed the president personally, and then he announced his retirement on the very last day of the session. And Justice Kennedy has been around since Ronald Reagan days. In fact, I can't remember the exact year it was, but I can remember Ronald Reagan introducing him Kennedy had been a Californian and close to Ronald Reagan, as I recall. I'm going back to the memory banks of the 1980s, and he's been sort of some people might say he's squishy. Squishy is the term that I've heard floating around on some issues, especially when it comes to social justice issues. But he's been a fairly solid conservative. About, they say the ratings are about 80% conservative. So now, of course, this throws everything in a tizzy with the left. You got Chuck Schumer, who's going crazy. Chuck E. Schumer is saying, oh, we can't have a selection during an election year. Really? From what I understand, there's absolutely no rules in the Senate that they can cite legitimately. There was a discussion, I think it was with Joe Biden a number of years ago, that he was saying you should not have, that Joe Biden is a senator, you should not have a confirmation for a Supreme Court justice in an election year. Of course, and that happened to have been a presidential election, I think, is when he said it. So there's nothing to say that you can't do this. Nothing. It's just Joe Biden's rule. There you go. Joe Biden's rule. That's what we ought to have run the Senate by, right? Well, apparently they tried to, and that's what Schumer is trying to cite. Basically, what he's saying is, uncle, 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 no more. The Democratic Party can't take it anymore. Winning, 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 and winning. Everybody's winning right now. And that is something they just cannot comprehend. Oh, the Obama era is just about to draw to a close. By the way, Obama's going to be out doing a fundraiser, from what I understand. They're letting him out. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or not. I just don't know if it's going to be a good thing or not that he's going to be out doing fundraisers for the Democratic Party. But, you know, they are in a world of hurt. If it was not for this young lady who won in New York on Tuesday, the Democratic Party would be absolutely apoplectic. And they are. They're slipping into that. Okay, now I want to talk about the lack of civility that we're seeing on everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, turn on the radio in the car, turn on Sirius Radio, listen to these people talk and stuff. The hate speech is coming forward. The anger is coming forward. The left is welling up with all of their pent-up anger and hostility at anything conservative, anything Republican at this point in time, except for maybe some of your rhinos. Now, it's kind of interesting, a little commentary on the rhinos that are out there, such as the Paul Ryans and so on. He's even getting some shots, from what I understand. I kind of turn that switch off when Paul Ryan's name comes up, because it's those Republicans that have been one of the biggest problems for Donald Trump in his first 2 years here. They are going to go away. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see those rhinos go away, or they're going to have to come around to Donald Trump's way of thinking after the 2018 election, especially if you're a member of the House of Representatives. That's going to all have to stop, because this guy is serious. The blue wave is not going to happen. The purple wave is not going to happen. And it's going to be a solid red wave of conservatives coming at everybody, and even California might be able to pick up some of the 53, if you don't know, and you may have heard this. California has 53 members of the House of Representatives. They say that if you were to throw out the illegal foreign nationals here, that you'd probably lose maybe 5 or 6 seats in California. I don't know if you know that or not. See, that's a big determinant right there, these illegal foreign nationals that Jerry Brown has been enticing in. We've been able to get even greater representation in the House of Representatives. Now, the number of Democrats that are in the House of Representatives from California sits at 39 right now, and, of course, only 14 Republicans. So, I mean, just imagine that. If we pick up another 2 or 3 or 4 in California, what that will look like. Now, my understanding, there is a probability that we might be able to pick up another 2. That would make it 16. The one thing that's not going to happen, we're not going to lose any seats, I do not believe. I was saying a couple weeks ago that I thought we might lose a couple seats, but now that the primary election is over and starting to understand what is happening, I think we might actually pick up a couple of seats. Now, if we lose one, pick one up in a different district, that's another issue. But right now, the way it stands, I think we're going to pick up another two seats. That's just me. Listen, I'll change my mind probably in another month or so as we get closer to November. I have the right to do that. It's my opinion I'm sharing right now. But the way the wave is working right now, the way this whole thing is playing out, is that Donald Trump winning, winning, winning again. And that means we're all winning, winning, winning again. Isn't that a nice thing? I mean, but of course, what is going on is that the left is going nutty loony. Red hen, anyone? By the way, every day I kind of, I know what I'm going to be doing for the next week or so is, where is that Red Hen restaurant today? How many people have been coming to the Red Hen? And what about the other businesses around the Red Hen? They're screaming uncle right now. Remember, this is where Sarah Huckabee Sanders was tossed up. Here's the point about what we're seeing, and we're going to see more of it. As the election starts to really kind of kneel down, we're going to see the left get more aggressive, more hostile, and even violence, I'm afraid, is going to happen in some places. That we're getting, you know, the Antifa folks. By the way, isn't it interesting? You don't see the Tea Partiers out there promoting violence, getting violence, or anything like that, do you? Do you really? No. But Antifa, yeah, it's, you know, and of course the interesting reports that I'm getting out of the Bay Area about Antifa is that there's a lot of them cruising around and looking for trouble. That's what I understand. I wonder what that means. Anyway, those are Obama's brown shirts. We'll be right back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-50 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-5095. Again, that's 800-711-5095.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Back to Agenda 21 Radio. Please visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. Okay, so we got a little situation going on with our nice little friends from down south. We're talking about the Mexican presidential campaign with Manuel Lopez Obrador. Andres. Mexico campaign closes with leftist AMLO looking unstoppable. This is from Yahoo News. And it says here, and I bring this up, and again, we've got to keep this in mind, what is going on here. It says, Mexico's presidential campaign ended with a fiesta of rallies Wednesday as establishment candidates made last-ditch pleas for voters to reject the radical break with the past promised by leftist frontrunner Andrés Manuel López Obrador, I guess. All four candidates held a series of huge rallies around the country, none more festive than López Obrador's in Mexico City's Azteca Stadium, where an A-list of Mexican musicians performed before his speech. With his anti-corruption platform, the fiery former Mexico City mayor, known as AMLO, looks virtually unstoppable heading into Sunday's vote. Isn't that interesting? Opinion polls gave him a double-digit lead for months, and two polls released Wednesday, the final day before the campaigning of polls, put the advantage at more than 20 points. Man, do they have a? They must have a really corrupt. Are they more corrupt in their voting and their polling than California? Well, you know, of course, Obrador, and this is the reason I'm saying this is because this guy is telling people that they have a right, that Central and South Americans and Mexicans have a right to flood across the border and leave your towns and villages and go to America. Nice. You know, with friends like that, who needs enemies, right? I want you to think about that comment, which is, as you think of Mexico. Are they really our friends? And most people will say, well, you know, gosh, they didn't help us out in World War I. In fact, they were on the German side. And then World War II, my God, they turned to the Germans as well. You know, one of those things that really pops up is, what about their music that they have, the Oompa band music? You know, when you think of a lot of the Mexican music, it's got a lot of accordions, drums, trumpets, you know, that sort of thing. Kind of like the Oompa band of Germany. But that's because they're blended together. They did that, yeah, years ago, as Germans settled into Mexico. Wow. See, this is the thing. A lot of people don't get it. That when the Europeans settled into the Americas, they settled into Mexico, too. I know that's a revelation for some, but when you go down to Mexico and you see the cultures kind of blended together, it's just like here. There was assimilation that went on with the cultures, and they've expressed it in their food and also in their music. I mean, it's just kind of one of the things that people just don't understand. But Germany, you got to remember, and Mexico have been partners in World War I and World War II, something to think about. I wonder why that would be. There's a reason, but I'm going to keep it a mystery to you because I expect you to go out and do a little bit of research and find out why that all took place. But people don't realize that history. So, you know, but down there they do. They get it down there. They understand it. You know, I can remember going into this whole thing about Aslan and all that stuff, and I keep telling everybody, you know, they're serious about this, taking over the Southwest and taking it back. This has been something that was brought up following 1846, though, of course, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. I used to go down and do some sort of missionary work with one of our you know, civic groups. We would go down and caravan a couple times a year and build houses and things like that and lay concrete and paint and just do gooder work for these people and help them out. And, of course, it was all corrupt. It was just all – and finally the corruption overwhelmed everybody in the group, and we decided – we took a vote and said, it was real democratic vote. And we're not going back down to Mexico again because, number one, they're stealing our money, and number two, it's dangerous because there's some of our good buddies, as we were traveling down there, got accosted, and that was it. We stopped. Everybody stopped going down there. I said, that's a pretty good move. The cartels are right around the corner. And that was back in the 90s that we decided. I haven't been down there since then. I just think it's just too dangerous. That's just me. I know. Other people go down there and they're retired and they're having a good time enjoying the good life. But anyway, in Mexico, I used to go. Part of our work was in orphanage and stuff. We had several orphanages that we worked with. And every time, being a school person, I would go in the classrooms. And I would sit there and go, wow, what in the world is in this, you know? And every one of those classrooms, every single one, if we were talking about your elementary to your high school, your secondary, your college, every single one had the map up of Mexico. And that Mexico map showed, yeah, the Southwest is part of Mexico. In other words, Colorado coming on over to Utah and Nevada and California. You'd have Texas. You'd have New Mexico and, of course, Arizona, all part of Mexico in those maps in the classrooms. So over years, of course, they're perseverating on that. They're learning that's Mexico. And as these kids growing up, year after year after year after year, and so now we have that population that are coming across the border, of course they think this is their land. If they've had that much teaching, and then all of a sudden now you have this presidential candidate, Obrador, who's talking about, leave your homes and settle in the United States. It's ours. What kind of a president of a country would be saying that? Oh, a president who has eyes on conquering the Southwest. And if you've got somebody such as a Jerry Brown in California who's opening the doors, and then not only that, but when you come to California as an illegal foreign national, Jerry Brown will rest assured give you a job in government. Now, I know you're not a citizen. You're illegally here. But Jerry Brown will accommodate. He'll give you a driver's license as well. Of course, that will push aside citizens of California, American citizens. Get my drift? What's going on here? So that's Obrador. I just thought I'd, tap that one out for you. And Lopez Obrador told thousands of cheering supporters as he wrapped up his campaign, the policies we've been applying for the past 30 years haven't worked. We haven't even had economic growth. Really? Because communism doesn't do that, right? Totalitarianism and the cartels really don't do that. So now his thing is, what's grown is corruption, poverty, crime, and violence, and that's why we're going to send their policies to the dustbin of history. Now, that sounds all strong and everything, but what does it mean when he says the dustbin of history for the United States as he's excoriating the United States and telling people to invade it, literally? See, there's a little bit of mixed messaging going on with this guy. That's because it's deliberate. He's deliberately mixed messaging everything. Of course he is. Lopez Obrador. I'm calling on all good people, including those in other parties, those with no party. I am explicitly calling on you to cast a pragmatic vote. Man of history. Lopez Obrador is 64 and has clashed with Mexico's business community, with some warning he might pressure Venezuela-style socialist policies that could wreak Latin America's second-largest economy. He's going to pursue Venezuelan-style socialist policies. Kind of just like what's happening in California, right? California, as you know, with Jerry Brown, is making that transition into Venezuelan-style governance. That's why all these homeless people are around. We'll be back.
Yeah.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-297-6668 now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. It's all present. And the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Okay, so we've got the House Committee coming up with the DOJ and FBI. This ought to be interesting. I'm really kind of intrigued by this. So we're going to tap into this. It's live now. This is going live here.
When are we getting the documents? We have asked for them. Are you going to cooperate?
Okay, I guess we're not going to get that live. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is Fox News. It's Capitol Hill. They're seating everybody. Goodlatte is coming in. You got some commentary on the side here with, I don't know who this gentleman is, but you've got FBI and DOJ that are going to sit down and testify publicly, and maybe we'll see what their little comments are going to be here. This is in the background. Yeah, the background sound you're hearing is listen to the panel. America's Newsroom is on right now. It's supposed to be Hammer there, but he's not there. And Sandra Smith is there. So anyway, they're doing a little bit of commentary right now. So we're going to jump in on that in a second. Okay, getting back, though, to our comment, I wanted to get into the Central American thing here a little bit because we're starting to get a little bit more action from what's going on in Central America. We'll come back to this in a second. So, no, kind of in a tweener right now because Rosenstein has just showed up and he's seated. And you got Inspector Ray there. Or Director Ray, FBI director. Here you go.
What will be different about what we are about to see, Noah, in this hearing room versus the last time we heard from Ray?
What I find most remarkable here is the extent to which we're seeing this fight between a Republican-led Congress and a Republican administration in the White House. This is Donald Trump's DOJ, and many members are flirting with the prospect of holding the deputy attorney general, in contempt, or possibly even impeaching somebody of that stature. And this isn't like impeaching Eric Holder with an adversarial relationship between the House and a Democratic administration. This is the president's DOJ. He can say these documents have to be provided, and the extent to which you have not provided them is a violation of our understanding with our colleagues in the House. Why that has not happened is open to a lot of interpretation.
And there's Chairman Goodlatte there. Tom, if I could bring you in here, in regards to yesterday and what we saw come out of that, Rod Rosenstein and Christopher Wray there exchanging some words ahead of this. The House Judiciary and the Oversight Committee.
It's kind of like we're lining up the usual suspects at this point with Christopher Wray and Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein representing the DOJ and Christopher Wray representing, he is the director of the FBI. And he's, of course, he was appointed by, and he still apparently has quite a good relationship with the president at this point in time. He was appointed by the president, and he's, he doesn't seem to be on any bad footing, at least that we can tell, and at least publicly. Now, privately, that might be a little bit different matter, and you know how these kind of things start to take shape and so on. So this committee is just now sitting down. They're going to testify for obvious reasons about the Russia probe and all these other things, about the lack of candor, if you will, by some of the agents. Now, that means lying by the FBI. Oh, the FBI lies? Really, yeah. You know, listen, I know a couple of very, very good, absolutely outstanding agents, and they really are the best of the best. And so we have, let's just face it, the FBI has been under great siege ever since, well, the Obama presidency, I think, has really brought a lot of it to light. But there's always been the sort of good and bad FBI, and we've talked about this over the years. There's good FBI agents and there's bad ones. And during the time of the Obama administration, the bad ones were really sticking their foot into everything. And I know that we were talking about Leland Yee. And Leland Yee was a California state senator. And Leland Yee was gun running with Shrimp Boy out of San Francisco. And Subic Bay, it's all gun running. A California state senator, a sitting senator, who was, by the way, pushing the no-gun agenda in California. He was gun-running, and he got caught. And now, from what I understand, there was some yin and yang amongst FBI that did not want to prosecute, and the president, Obama, did not want that to come out. But they went through. The FBI agents went through and stuck with it, and they got a conviction. Just recently, Leland Yee was sentenced to some prison time. I don't know exactly what it was. I can't remember. I just heard it was the sentencing, and it happened. But that took a long time to process that. That was starting about in 2014. Here it is 4 years later. Finally, they get a conviction, and they close that whole thing down. And boy, what a big expansion of information came out from that, though. For the life of me, I don't know how. If you're a politician of any sort in Sacramento, really, there is so much scrutiny that goes on with a lot of these people. Once you get the FBI and other people on to something that you might be doing, I don't know why they risk that sort of thing. But right now we've got a major crisis in Sacramento in terms of corruption. That crisis has got to be resolved, and hopefully it's going to be resolved in the next, with New California, it will be resolved. But why they haven't pushed that so much, I don't know. Maybe I understand there's a lot of pushing going on right now, especially with the Trump administration kind of moving into California a little bit more. So hopefully there's going to be some more corruption things exposed with some of the leaders down there. But that's just, it just takes a lot of time to run through all that stuff. So anyway, we're going to try and get back into this in a second. We'll be monitoring it. They might be starting to at any time, and I'll jump back into it. But I wanted to bring this out. Venezuela's Maduro calls Pence poisonous viper. This is a little bit of our South American business going on. This was something, if you can imagine this, ladies and gentlemen, that Venezuela calls Pence a poisonous viper. Venezuela's Maduro. You know, the guy who's just totally blown up that country. And by the way, people are flooding out of Venezuela because there's no water. Now, we reported months ago about them, if they wanted water, what they had to do was they had to take water out of pools, swimming pools, or ponds, or whatever, wherever they could find water. They can't find water. Now, this is because Pence is going to be down there in South America. And that's the reason why he did it. It says Caracas. Caracas. This is from Reuters. It says Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro on Wednesday called U.S. Vice President Mike Pence a viper. A viper. And vowed to defeat what he called Washington's attempts to force him from power. Okay? See, blame it on Washington, Maduro, right? Pence, who arrived in Ecuador on Wednesday as part of a tour of South America, is seeking to boost regional pressure on Venezuela following Maduro's reelection in May in a vote that the United States said it was fraudulent. I wish the United States government would take a look at California's voting system and just announce it's fraudulent. Anyway, every time the poisonous viper Mike Pence opens his mouth, I feel stronger, the socialist leader said in a televised speech. We have defeated you, and you are going to defeat, and we are going to defeat you wherever you are, he says. Maduro insists that the United States is seeking to overthrow his government in order to seize the OPEC nation's oil and mineral wealth, and accuses Washington of leading an economic war against the country. Of course, you know, being a communist that he is, he's waging war economically against his own country. You just can't escape that. U.S. President Donald Trump has imposed economic sanctions on Maduro and members of his cabinet on accusations they are undermining democracy and violating human rights. And that's pretty much true about that. So you poisonous viper out there. You poisonous viper. Now, some of the back channel stuff that we're hearing about, there is a serious effort right now to kind of get a handle on all these people that are flooding out of Central America and coming through Mexico and into the United States. It's an abject flood from these countries. And I understand our government and certain officials have been going down there in the last week or so. I think that's a really good idea. You know, you might want to get those countries kind of in line in terms of their thinking about what they might want to try and do to provide for their people protection against the cartels. Because you see, it's the cartels and certain religious groups down there that are playing with these people's lives and destroying their lives. And as you know, the reason why a lot of them want asylum is it's legitimate reasons. They are going to go back and be killed for the most part. If they don't make it, they're going to get killed. Now, that's a problem. But, you know, why are people being killed down there? And why are they rounding up the usual suspects or innocent people, breaking up families? Why are they doing that? That seems to be the root of the evil. And they need to get that one through. We'll be right back.
Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
A well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. At Shooter's Paradise, we support and supply that right. Shop online at either shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com to see our huge inventory and great prices. That's shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com and enter the zip code 95993 to shop with Shooter's Paradise.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price? Guaranteed. Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-297-6668 now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Okay, we're going to join the House Judiciary Committee. Bob Goodlatte is now reading comments into the record as they open the session. You got Christopher Wray, and you got Rod Rosenstein of the DOJ, and Christopher Wray, of course, is the director of the FBI. So they're now reading all this in, and we're going to join that right now. You're going to be listening to Bob Goodlatte do the introduction here.
And whether subjects of an investigation could sit in on interviews with other subjects of the same investigation. These were individuals who were plainly in positions of great power with the opportunity to place greater, lesser, or even no emphasis on certain facts or interpretations of law. These actions led to complete legal exoneration of everyone involved in sending top secret emails over personal servers and unsecured emails and setting up a server for the explicit purpose of doing this. These actions even led to exposing at least one classified email to a foreign party that risked serious damage to our national security. Amazingly, considering their overwhelming biases, these people were also the very same people who were assigned to investigate the man that they hated, then-candidate Donald Trump. My reference to the Church Committee is apropos because it not only reviewed abuses by individuals, including the FBI director himself, but focused in on surveillance abuses. Here we now face the same allegations, yet in manner that goes to the heart of our democracy. It is right out of a novel, with salacious, unverified dossiers, reports of informants that appear more like spies for the U.S. government, and application of the aforementioned surveillance powers to collect on a U.S. person once associated with President Trump's political campaign. But it's not a novel. It's real life. And we are here today to understand a little bit more about why we now must review how our intelligence and law enforcement agencies engage in activity that appears not only wrong, but potentially illegal. All of which brings me to this body's constitutional oversight, mandate, and responsibilities. Our responsibility to the American people is to conduct robust oversight of agencies within this committee's jurisdiction to ensure that taxpayer-funded agencies operate lawfully. Our oversight, though, is only as good as the information we are provided. This committee's oversight has been hampered by both the FBI and DOJ's lack of consistent and vigorous production of the documents we need to hold the agencies accountable. While this production has significantly improved recently, it has felt like pulling teeth much of the time to obtain and review relevant documents. Moreover, we just recently learned that some documents the Inspector General received to conduct his investigation of the 2016 election have been interpreted by the Department of Justice to fall outside the first subpoena I ever issued as chairman of this committee. Shockingly, emails and communications of DOJ officials have not been produced at all. Therefore, we have not received any emails between prosecutors working the Clinton case. Said differently, we are not receiving and have not received potentially enlightening communications between prosecutors themselves, between prosecutors and DOJ management, including former Attorney General Lynch, or even communications between DOJ officials and those with the Obama White House. This is unacceptable, particularly when we had long before issuing the subpoena requested all documents provided to the Inspector General other than certain ones pertaining to grand jury material. The Department of Justice and the FBI are not mentioned in the United States Constitution. The President and Congress are. Our constitutional oversight necessitates that institutions like the FBI and DOJ yield to Congress' constitutional mandate. This is non-negotiable because we must assure the American people that the agencies under our jurisdiction operate fairly, treating all equally under the law. This hearing emphasizes the importance of transparency in helping to regain both the perception and reality of impartiality of our law enforcement system. Damage to the FBI and DOJ's reputations is not something any of us desire. But now that both agencies have been on the front pages for so long, we must all work to ensure those stories are able to focus once again on the great men and women performing admirable and often heroic jobs to protect our country. We expect to hear today how the FBI and the DOJ will hold people accountable and prevent this from happening again. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from both Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and Director Wray. I now recognize the ranking member of the committee, the gentleman from New York, Mr. Nadler, for his opening statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The events that have led up to this hearing are totally unacceptable. On Monday of this week, you notified us of this hearing without the 7-day notice required by the rules. On Tuesday, you started our committee markup more than an hour late again without notice to the minority. Then you allowed Mr. Jordan to offer an amendment to a resolution of inquiry that was patently non-germane, and then you stood out of view of the cameras in the hallway just off the hearing room while the majority voted to overturn the ruling of their own chair that the amendment was not germane. On Wednesday, you dropped all committee business to interview Peter Strzok, who had already volunteered to come in for an interview before you threatened him with a subpoena. Today we meet so that the majority can criticize the Deputy Attorney General to his face, largely about his failure to produce documents that you know he cannot produce. We will take a break so that we can go to the floor and vote on a so-called resolution of insistence based on the Jordan Amendment from earlier this week, a measure that is without precedent, without the force of law, and clearly a pretext for a move against Mr. Rosenstein that the majority has already planned. And what is the great emergency that justifies this last-minute hearing? Why has the majority abandoned the rules and traditions that govern civility in the House? The tired story of Hillary Clinton's emails, of course, plus a few conspiracy theories about this special counsel. When President Trump and his administration were actively separating families at the border, ripping children out of the arms of their parents and causing untold suffering to thousands of families, that did not merit an emergency hearing by this committee. And now that thousands of children are still separated from their parents, with no clear plan from this administration for reuniting these families, where is the emergency hearing on that issue? We know that Russia, after successfully interfering with our 2016 elections, is actively working to disrupt the upcoming elections as well. We are told this by all of our intelligence agencies. The former National Security Advisor testified that our intelligence agencies, despite this, have received no instructions from the White House to protect the integrity of our election system. Have we scheduled an emergency hearing on that matter? For that matter, have we conducted any oversight at all on election security, on the family separation crisis, on the administration's failure to protect Dreamers, on the Justice Department's radical decision not to defend the Affordable Care Act in court, on the Supreme Court's recent decisions to undermine voting rights and workers' rights, on the President's ongoing conflicts of interest and clear violations of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, or on the myriad other pressing issues within our committee's jurisdiction? No. As with so many issues, this committee stays silent. But on Hillary Clinton's emails, sound the alarms. Despite an Inspector General's report that in more than 500 exhaustive pages demonstrates conclusively that the outcome of the Clinton investigation was not affected by any improper bias, political
right,
or otherwise.
Right. This is Nadler, and he's always, if you've never heard of Mr. Nadler, he is quite a little firebrand on the Democratic side. And again, you're listening to the desperate pleas of the left here all the way through. This whole issue with them trying to deflect now any kind of information about Hillary Clinton and the email server, it's all done deal, right? It's all completely done. Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's not all completely done. It won't be done until we get some resolution to the criminal behavior behind it all. And I think that's really what we're trying to get to here. Nadler is fighting tooth and nail here, throwing everything at us to stop this. That's what he's doing. And trying to get some sort of claiming of winning for the Democrats of some sort in his little diatribe here. We'll go back to that.
For members to consider, quote, the Justice Department's compliance with the committee's March 22nd subpoena, close quote. A subpoena that was not issued in compliance with House rules and therefore cannot be enforced. Even if it were a properly issued subpoena, the fight over document production seems to have boiled down to certain documents that the Republicans know the Department of Justice cannot turn over. Much of it evidence relating to an ongoing criminal investigation, the scoping documents outlining specific lines of inquiry in an ongoing criminal investigation, and the identities of confidential human sources still working undercover in the field. And that, of course, is the whole point. As part of their coordinated and determined effort to undermine the special counsel's investigation, Republicans are requesting documents they know they cannot have. If they somehow find themselves in possession of sensitive documents that go to the core of the special counsel's investigation, and if past practice holds, those documents will end up in the possession of the subject of the investigation, namely President Trump, and shortly thereafter on Fox News. And if the majority is rightly denied, they will do their best to undermine the credibility of the Department of Justice, the credibility of the Deputy Attorney General, and by extension, the credibility of the special counsel. They will likely try to hold Mr. Rosenstein in contempt. Some have even threatened him with impeachment. They may argue that he must be removed from his oversight role over the special counsel's investigation. This is an investigation, I might remind my colleagues, that has already yielded 5 guilty pleas and that has led to the indictment of 20 people so far. The president and some of his closest advisors are under investigation for having participated in a criminal conspiracy with a foreign power against the United States. That is an emergency. The president practically confessed to Lester Holt on television that he obstructed the investigation into that conspiracy.
Of course, none of this is true. Yeah, none of this. This is the Russiagate thing. There's no evidence here. So this is the Nadler thing. Just get the narrative out there. Drive it all home. And anyway, so we're closing out here in this hour. I'm going to come back, and we might listen to a little bit more of this if it gets to be interesting, and I'll sort of monitor what's going to happen. We're going to get to the news at the top of the hour. Anyway, so remember to visit our website at agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. Also, right to voice. Right to voice. You have a right to your voice. And what you can do is, of course, go to right, R-I-G-H-T, the number 2, V-O-I-C-E, and plug in now. Literally, it's the alternative to Facebook. It's the conservative alternative. You will not be censored. Just remember that. You will not be censored, which, oh boy, in this day of censorship, right? I mean, I can tell you firsthand, I've started to use Right to Voice as my alternative to Facebook, and we're going to start shifting a lot of things over there right now in the next couple of weeks. It's going to take a process, I know, but you know, I want to be free from censorship. That's why we're doing New California. Hello. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And please visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and newcaliforniastate.com. And remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN.
American Exceptionalism News Network.